I'm Patrick van der Meijden, founder of Bitkassa and Arnhem Bitcoin City in the Netherlands.
Two of your favorite bands made a song about money, the Beatles in 1963 and Pink Floyd 10 years later. Do you play these songs nowadays on your guitar and sing about Bitcoin?
No.
Do you get jealous if you look at El Zonte, Bitcoin Beach?
No.
Every year, Shimei brews a limited edition of your favorite beer since 2015, called a Grand Reserve Barrel Fermented. They use an ancestral method to precede a second fermentation in wooden barrels. Every edition has its own discrete touch, such as oak, rum, cognac, armagnac. Did you already have the chance to drink one of those bottles?
No.
Is there a better way to transport yourself than by bike?
No.
Isabelle Hansen is one of the best Dutch halfpipe competitors in freestyle skiing. Will she qualify for the Olympic Winter Games in Beijing?
Yes.
Did you prefer reading the Bitcoin Standard over Ons Geld is stuk, Our Money is Broke?
No.
We know your friend bought something for 10 Bitcoin back in the days. Did you ever buy yourself something for 10 Bitcoin?
No.
Royal Flush is the best out of all poker hands that can be created in the Texas Hold'em poker. Statistically, you have to play 650,000 hands to get one. Did you already hit one?
Yes.
Do you prefer a broodje kroket over a broodje frikandel?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. Welcome to episode 7 of Connect the World. And this week we welcome Patrick van der Meijden as a guest to join us. How are you doing, Steph?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Edward.
And the seventh episode.
Already,
yeah, that's amazing. It's a magic number.
It's a magic number. It's my lucky number.
Yeah, really?
Well, 21, of course. I mean, but after 21, 7 will be my lucky number.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And nice to have Patrick on, yeah. Because I play poker all the time with him on Friday night online, of course. But well, nice to have him in a more serious.
And he's in on winning spree instead of you.
Well,
or
if I remember well, we were heads up for one time, and he slipped into my mind all the time because he was doing all these tricks. And I don't know if you play poker, but you can all do this.
I played it old school, with friends, of course, and then the physical poker, so not online, but it sounds nice. Yeah.
He wanted to manipulate me, but I think he was the winner after all, so he succeeded. But nice to have him as a guest. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. Also, very interesting company that he runs. Yep. So
it's a no name in Holland or in the Netherlands. We have to call it the Netherlands, huh?
Yeah, and of course he is building Bitcoin City in Holland, Arnhem, of course.
So all for adoption, and I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need, of course.
Of course, connecting.
Yeah, but before we go into that part, let's talk a little bit about the statistics of the Lightning Network and about our Rings of Fire community, and then the second part will be with our Patrick.
Let's do that. All right, have fun.
Okay, have fun.
Conecta el mundo.
Okay, so last week we had a little over 19 Bitcoin pushed into the Lightning Network, and this week it's almost 20. We added 33 million Satoshis with around 639 members participating in over 75 rings. And Edward, we have another we have another record, but I will tell some more at the Rings of Fire statistic later in the show. But we have another
record. It's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, we always look to the Lightning Network as a whole to see the numbers. And I see there are 12 nodes less than last week. So we have 19,170 in the world. And it's not very much, so it's not very interesting that it's 12 public nodes less. And we have an increase, so that's more interesting. In the network capacity, so there's more than 3,320 Bitcoin in the Lightning network. So that's a lot, and it's 17 more. So yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, great. Hey, and the today's value of 1 million Satoshis is $422, €347, and it's 2,600 Chinese yuan. So it's a decrease again.
That's too bad. Decrease again. It's $70 decrease from last week, and last week we had $45 decrease. So, we're not psyched about that, but it's it doesn't say very much. No. Only that it's now decreasing, and
happens,
it's volatile.
Edwards.
Yeah, that's right. It will go up someday. So, no sweat. Yeah.
Connecter le monde.
And for the news of this week, there are a couple of interesting things. Breeze Podcasting 2.0 published a new build. That's nice because a lot of listeners use it to stream Satoshis. And they have updated some translations, so that's nice. And Google Services dependency is now optional, so you can choose yourself. And they added enhancements, and that's interesting. I don't know if any listeners added some in apps. So Breeze has some apps inside of it, and they can be added. And SMS for Sats, it's an app that allow you to send and receive SMS messaging with your phone and without giving away your phone number.
That's
so
awesome.
That's nice. Yeah. A lot of guys and girls want to have some privacy, so it's nice that you can do that. Alex Bosworth tweeted also
would be nice
something
to have him in the show one time.
And to ask him about this, because we're following him, and there are a lot of things that are interesting which he's developing, also with other persons, of course. So we always use it in our news because some of the things are very nice. Like this one, he tweeted about an interesting project. It's about removing the requirement for blockchain transactions for channels. So that's a layer one, layer two issue. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting because in this scenario, two people could transact over Lightning without ever interacting with the chain. So it means on-chain layer one isn't necessary anymore. It makes it possible, for example, to own multiple nodes. And that's the interesting part. That trust each other. So if you have two nodes, mm-hmm. And you can build some trust, and then you can move Satoshis around without the need of an on-chain transaction. So that's
great.
Yeah, that's magnificent. Then for another news item, Lightning Markets, LN Markets, a new Python script is released to lower Bitcoin volatility with futures hedging. It's published on GitHub and lets you short on LN markets automatically. So it lets you protect the value of your open channels. And that's great, of course. It works with LN bits and all Lightning nodes and wallets. I didn't try it myself. I don't know if anyone in the community tried it, but always take care. I think it's legit, but always try it. And take care trying it. Then the last thing, enabling full replace fee, RBF. It allows unconfirmed transaction in a mempool to be replaced with a different transaction with the same input, but with a higher transaction fee. And full RBF allows any transaction to be replaced whether or not it signals BIP 125 replaceability. And Jeremy Rubin posted a reply on an older Bitcoin dev. I've read it. And in that mailing list, he talked about enabling full RBF in Bitcoin Core to any transaction that signals BIP 125 for a given amount of seconds after it is first received by a node. So it takes some seconds of time, and it has two advantages, this method. One of it is merchants can accept unconfirmed transactions like they do now after those given seconds have elapsed. And the other thing, and that's more interesting even, the protocols that depend on the replaceability for security don't have to worry about non-opt-in transactions, as it will receive a response from a node or watchtower within those given seconds.
Right.
If you want to read more, we will add the link in the show notes. I think it's nice to read it.
Great.
And well, the last thing, there is a Rust Lightning update. Well, we always say keep your software up to date, so do that if you use Rust Lightning.
Great.
Connect the world.
Okay, so let's dive deeper into our rings forecast. We have now the 500k 22nd ring. We have two spots left, and at the 1 million satoshis 23rd ring, we have five spots left, and the 2 million satoshis 13th ring, we have also five spots left. So if you're looking for rings with that liquidity, please join our Telegram group and sign up using the polls in the pinned messages, or just ask for them, we will show you. And of course, if you want to join rings with a higher liquidity, there are also polls for them, so you can find them also in the pinned message. And Edward, there it is. We have a new record.
Yeah, the new record.
Because last week we had a ring of fire with six countries involved. I mean, six node operators from six different countries. And well, yeah, we crushed it because we now have a ring with eight countries involved. Yeah, man.
So eight members and all from another country. Yeah.
I guess there are even 10 members. So we have a node owner from Canada, Spain, Netherlands, South Africa, Germany, Brazil, United States, and Norway. It blows my mind. But we have two from Holland and two from South Africa, if I remember well. So we have 10 participants. I mean, we usually say eight is the maximum, but two people dropped in, and I thought we had some cancellations, but we had they didn't cancel after all. So yeah, we put them all together, and now we have 10 participants. And I think that it might be it because, we say that eight is the sweet spot, right? We don't want
that's right.
more than eight participants in a ring because otherwise, it's very hard to organize. So I think...
And how far is the ring now? Are they...
The channels are opened and we have picked our ring leader. It's Mr. X from Holland. I think they will do the balancing this weekend. So... Yeah, okay. Man. So
that's fast.
So next week, I'm sure it's balanced. So we can celebrate and maybe drink another champagne like last week.
And that would be nice. And I was thinking, well, we have those eight countries. Wouldn't it be awesome? I'm always a visual guy that... you see the world and you see those
connections, right?
And you see the ring.
and it would be even better if we all also had someone from Asia, and then we can connect the European people to the Asian people and the Asian to the North American people, so we can go around the globe. But we can
then it's really intercontinental. Yeah. That's what I like.
So, but maybe we can set it as a goal for a future ring. It would be nice.
Yeah,
so.
Some kind of special. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, we also balanced two rings. We balanced the 500k 20th ring. Five countries involved. I mean, it's also nice. Amazing, right? It was Holland, Germany, Canada, the United States, and Belgium. And Tu Sapag was our ring leader. Thanks for your leadership. And boy, this went smoothly with the new and stunning ring tools bot. Because
that's nice to hear.
Evolves every day. I mean, I'm so proud of what Jury created. It helps us a lot, but it went so smoothly. And it's also nice to see all the participants using it and giving compliments. I mean, it really Julie really did a wonderful job. So
you're right.
Tusapach, thanks for sharing your screen because the others could also witness the magic. And it was a nice group with awesome distribution. And there was a new guy, Crypto Sendai, and he was doubting, should I be the ringleader in a future ring? And we say, Crypto Sendai,
saw it.
Come on, man. you will be our next ringleader, I hope. And then we had the 2 million Satoshis 12th ring with node owners from Holland, Germany, and Belgium. And so far we managed to balance a ring every day of 2022. Today it was Niva who was our ringleader. After confusing the ring tools bot with his recently changed username, he managed to run the script quickly. Although he had some issues with a slow node, a reboot seemed to fix the issues, and after his grub was up to date, he balanced the ring very fast. So well done, Niva.
Yeah.
And was
I watched it from the inside because I was in the ring. So that's it's a great ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it went very well.
Yeah. So two rings. Right. We also opened, I think, a 5 million Satoshis ring, but it's very recent. Yeah. So I didn't put it in the script for the episode, but we will tell
next
you
week.
More about it next week. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks, Steph. Nothing to talk about anymore. Let's go to the lightning notes.
Yep, let's.
Connect the world.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible, and keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like MyNode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF and follow our Lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SATA trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Connecter le monde.
Well, welcome, Patrick.
Yeah, glad to have you with us.
Glad to have you with us.
Some interesting answers you gave.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you were a bit in doubt by my question. Do you get jealous if you look at El Zonte, Bitcoin Beach? You doubted a bit and then you said no, but there was some doubt.
Yeah, because of course it's cool to see what's happening there, but I'm not jealous because it's more that my biggest wish is that actually Arnhem Bitcoin City is not that special anymore, and that you could pay with Bitcoin everywhere over the globe. So in that sense, I think it would be cool if there were more places like Arnhem and El Zonte.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah,
maybe you can tell our listeners and viewers, because they are not all from Holland, of course, a bit about Arnhem Bitcoin City. What is Arnhem to begin with, maybe?
Yeah. I think the early adopters of Bitcoin, especially the ones who were quite active in 2014 and 2015, have heard of Arnhem before. We founded Arnhem Bitcoin City in 2014. And we started it with 15 cafes and bars who were accepting Bitcoin. And we started a pub crawl to have an opening event in Arnhem. And at the time, about 70 people came to Arnhem, probably just about every Bitcoin enthusiast in the Netherlands that was online. And a few from foreign countries. And yeah, we had a great evening, and yeah, that gained some publicity. And yeah, it started with 15 merchants, but due to the publicity, more and more merchants joined our project. So even a dentist joined Iron and Bitcoin City and started accepting Bitcoins for their jobs. And yeah, when in 2014, the Spar supermarket near the central station started accepting Bitcoin, it was the first bigger brand supermarkets who was accepting Bitcoin at the time. So it gained a lot of publicity at the time.
Yeah.
So I think most of the people who were active in Bitcoin at that time were aware of our project, and a lot of them even visited Arnhem during one of the events we organized.
Great. It's nice to really create a haven where these kind of people can go to. So that's that's nice. Yeah. And you started it with a couple of other persons, because I
with Rogier and Annette, who we were friends. We are still friends, by the way.
Yeah.
And we started it Arnhem Bitcoin City, and we created our own payment processor called Bitkassa.
Yeah.
And just to make it very easy for merchants to accept Bitcoin, because the only thing you need is just a tablet or a smartphone with an internet connection and a browser on it.
Yeah.
And then you can start accepting Bitcoin. And in the in 2014, every merchant we onboarded wanted to convert the Bitcoins immediately to euros. Mm-hmm. And as time goes by, more and more merchants contacted us and asked us if they could keep the Bitcoins themselves. So we adapted the possibility to just send out the Bitcoins to their own wallets in Bitkassa. And
that's interesting.
That's just
of course
how it started.
Yeah, that's
and when you look at the map in Arnhem now, every merchant you see on the map is keeping the Bitcoins themselves, because due to some regulation changes in the Netherlands, Bitkassa was no longer allowed to make the conversions to euros.
Yeah.
So all the 50 merchants are now keeping the Bitcoins themselves.
So that's a negative thing, but also a positive thing.
Yeah.
And I've taken a look at the map, and then I instantly think of the Bitcoin Beach app, where you also see a map with all merchants that accept Bitcoin or Lightning. So that's great. And you answered one question we really want to know the story of, and that's about your friend that bought something for 10 Bitcoin, because it's an absurd amount of Bitcoin if
it
you
wasn't as
see
bad
it now.
As the Bitcoin pizza, right? I mean,
it's something
Bitcoin
like
is
that.
It's a Bitcoin pizza from Arnhem, I guess. A similar story.
Awesome.
Yeah, my friend Rogier needed an e-bike.
Yeah.
And we just went to a few bicycle shops in Arnhem, and one of them actually was interested in accepting Bitcoin. So Rogier in 2014 bought his e-bike for 10 Bitcoins at that at the time. which is quite an enormous amount at the current days. So.
You could buy a nice car
nowadays. A nice car, I think a house even with current rates.
Yeah,
so
man.
Yes.
Amazingly. Yeah, well, amazing. if you see it like that in only this short amount of time, it's
great.
Amazing.
Hey, but it's cool that because he could also have just used euros, but what he did now was just buy some extra Bitcoins. Spend them to buy the bicycle, and now you have this nice story that goes goes around.
A good story to start your introduction with, I think.
Yeah, I think also.
Hey guys, we have a lot of questions for you about the Bitcoin City project, of course, and Bitkassa, and we will question you in the 21 minutes. So are you ready, guys? Let's go
I'm
to
ready.
The 21 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Connect o mundo.
Well, let's start with Bitcoin City Arnhem. And can you think of the biggest similarities between El Zonte and Arnhem?
I think it's both started with Bitcoin enthusiasts who were willing to inform people around them that there was something like Bitcoin and how actually the usual monetary system works and how you could gain from learning more about Bitcoin and wanting to get more adoption in their local environment. So I think that's the big similarity.
Yeah, great. And we talked about it a bit already, but how many shops in Arnhem are accepting Bitcoin at this moment?
At this moment, it's about 50.
50 shops.
Yeah, okay. And at the height, it was about 120. So it's just due to regulations, and we had to stop converting to euros. Some of the merchants stopped accepting bitcoins because it was a bit too difficult for them in their bookings to keep up with bitcoins.
Yeah,
but also a lot of merchants from that day started accepting bitcoins and keeping the bitcoins themselves. Actually, so that's an up and a downside.
Yeah, that's an upside. Yeah, and if we keep seeing the similarities between El Zonte and Arnhem, is why did the adoption multiple times faster than in the Netherlands? You think, does it need to be a legal tender to have more adoption?
Yeah, but I think El Salvador and the Netherlands are completely different countries. The Netherlands has its own currency.
A stable one,
and the payment services in the Netherlands are extraordinarily good. Mm-hmm. You only need to swipe your phone or your bank card past a terminal, and you've paid for your sandwich or whatever. So it's completely different situation, and very hard to compete in the Netherlands with the current financial systems.
Yeah, you can pay now using your Apple Watch with the latest Lastbit upgrade. Yeah. I saw Edward tweeting about it. So
yeah, that's great. We really need that kind of things. The payment services are so important, and merchants, of course, also.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it's in the last few years I came to realize that I probably know more merchants that were accepting Bitcoin than I know people who are actually using Bitcoin for payments.
Yeah,
and that's just a waste, because I know that a lot of people are saying, I don't use my Bitcoins for payments, of course, because they will gain in value. But yeah, I just realized that when you're there's even people who say that it's stupid to use Bitcoin for payments. But what they are actually saying is that they will someday change their Bitcoins to fiat again.
To
use it, actually. Yeah. And of course, Bitcoin will have much more value if you can just spend it everywhere.
Yeah.
It just makes Bitcoin more worth if you can use it everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, and if you look back to when you started Bitcasa in the one and only Bitcoin City, Arnhem, of course, was the adoption of the launch better than expected, or is it a bit disappointing? You telling me that you know more shops than people who pay for Satoshis? Is it?
When we started it, we thought, maybe in 5 years. So we started it in 2014, mm-hmm. and we guessed that, maybe in 2019 it will be quite normal if you pay with Bitcoins, because times are changing and maybe that it won't be so exceptional anymore. But it probably takes a bit longer before that happens. It's still, if you go to one of the shops and you pay with Bitcoin, there are a few shops who have regular customers that pay with Bitcoins. Yeah. But most of the merchants will think, you want to pay with Bitcoin? Oh, that's cool. And But it's still
that's how it works. Odd. Yeah, they talk about it, of course, and then
And so if you like to support our project, just come to Arnhem and just spend a few sats over here.
Yeah.
You will see it's a very smooth experience. And
awesome. Yeah. And if you compare Arnhem with other Bitcoin-friendly cities in the world, in a ranking, is it the second city or?
I'm not really sure, because I think in Arnhem there are actually more merchants now than in El Zonte. So I'm not really sure where there would be a better place to spend Bitcoins.
No.
But my guess is that Arnhem is probably still number one at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like I said before, I hope that will change. Better sooner than later.
Exactly.
Of course, if we talk about paying with Bitcoin, Arnhem, everybody uses BitCassa, of course. You're the founder of BitCassa. So it would be nice to talk a bit more about BitCassa. Can you give us an insight of how many transactions did you provide in last year, 2021? Can you say something about that?
Now, that's not information that we are making public.
Okay.
But it's quite stable, I have to say. In the beginning, we saw an increasement of Bitcoin payments, but in the last years, it's quite stable and not really growing at this time. I hope that something will change.
But do you see an increase in, for example, Lightning payments?
Yeah, we do see an increase in Lightning payments when you look at the point of sale customers, because BitCassa has three different systems: a point of sale payment system, an API for web shops, and we have something called a Bit Invoice. For merchants who use invoices to get payments from their customers. And when we look at the point of sale part, then I think it's about 90% using Lightning payments at that moment. And that's very cool. And I hope that we'll gain even more in the future. But when we look at the website or the invoice payments, then I think Lightning is only about 30% at this time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why the difference? Can you maybe guess?
Not really sure why where that's coming from, but I think the most of the point of sale customers are actually. Nowadays, Lightning Network users who just like to spend some sats in a physical store, while I believe most of the web shops have customers who are using Bitcoin for years and are still doing the same way of paying like they have been doing since 2014 using our service.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, maybe that. But we have recently changed our interface, where also the web shop users first have the question if they would like to use Lightning or on-chain payment, and they get a notice that it's better to use Lightning. And since we have changed our interface, I think more Lightning users are also using it for website payments.
Great. And what is the distribution between the parties you onboard, like merchants, web shops, service providers? What are the percentages?
Well, when you go to the BitCassa website and you log on for an account, you get a question how your customers are paying you, if they're paying you at the point of sale or by invoice or by the website. And there are a lot of merchants who use multiple of those systems.
Okay.
But I'd say that maybe the point of sale customers are like 40%, something like that. And the invoice and the web customers are like 60%, around that number, okay. I guess.
And do you think, eventually commercial banks will also act like payment providers for Bitcoin or Lightning someday?
Yeah, it's just a question of time when this will becoming the truth. Yeah.
Well, especially
you already see more banks in Europe starting to set up Bitcoin services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
German banks also, and in America there's also a few banks who are doing it already. So yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and especially of course, Lightning makes it less a store of value, and it makes it interesting to actually do something with Satoshi.
Liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and if a merchant wants to use your service, what do they need?
Well, if a merchant of a physical store, like a grocery store or whatever, they only need a smartphone or a tablet with internet access and a browser on it, and then they can process Bitcoin payments, and we will send the Bitcoins they receive from their customers to their own wallet, and it can be any wallet they want to use.
Yeah. And how do you find new merchants? Do you actively promote on television or banners or something else?
No, it's a free service we are offering, so we don't have any budget for promotion on the radio or television or whatever. So in Arnhem, whenever I need something for myself, I just go to a shop and I always ask them if they would be willing to accept Bitcoin. But that's just my hometown where I live. But outside of Arnhem, it's up to other people to get their favorite store to accept Bitcoin, and Bitkassa is happy to help them with them.
All right. And are there any restrictions, merchant that Bitkassa won't onboard or?
No, it needs to be legal, and Bitkassa only supports the euro as default currency.
Yeah.
So at the moment we don't support UK shops, for instance. But if it's within a country that uses the euro as its national currency, then you can use Bitkassa for it. And we've had all sorts of merchants. Of course, all the merchants that you can see on the Arnhem Bitcoin Start website. But we have also had escort services or just you name it. And we don't make any difference.
And is it easy to pay an escort? What are your experiences?
No, just kidding, man.
It's nice because they have a problem having a bank account. So that's...
That's a real issue.
We
know we've been in the same situation. Bitkassa also had a big problem getting a banking account in 2014. And that's just lame bullshit. We don't want to put that to other merchants. So it's just a legal business, and sometimes we get very strange companies from Romania or something like that. And then, if it's too shady, then we just need to make sure that it's legal. And if things get too shady, then we don't onboard them, because we really don't want to get into trouble ourselves.
Of course.
But
whenever
it's legal, we're just very happy to support.
And you onboarded a lot of companies. What amazed you the most? And I don't mean a company, but what amazed you the most by onboarding all those merchants?
The diversity of those merchants. Of course. Also, one of the merchants that's still keeps popping up in my mind is the Burger King in Arnhem, which actually came to us that they would like to join the Arnhem Bitcoin Stad project, just because a nephew of the owner of the local Burger King joint told him, hey, did you know that Arnhem was a Bitcoin city? You should also join them and sell your Whoppers for Bitcoins.
Yeah, but then because Bart Mol from the Dutch part of Satoshi Radio, of course, he said that he was one of the first that bought an a hamburger, or yeah, he said a Big Mac, but hey, McDonald's, Burger King, it's all the same a bit. But he wasn't one of the first, because in Arnhem, how long ago did you onboard at the Burger King?
I believe it was 2015 or 2016. Yeah. I think 2016, January or February, probably.
Amazing to think about the time that it's...
Yeah.
It already
and
was
actually,
possible.
You could get a free Whopper if you paid with Bitcoin. So
really?
It was a great deal too. Yeah, unfortunately, the owner of the local Burger King joint sold his venue, and the new owner was no longer interested in accepting Bitcoin. So that's no longer a possibility. But it was a great something that was quite amazing that it happened in Arnhem.
Well, and if we look at the future, well, I was thinking, or we were thinking about that it would make sense in the future or something that there will be some sort of custodial Lightning service that will be used by most people. And in addition, it could be that public nodes can have a more regional function, like becoming some sort of community bank or something that offers liquidity. So people can connect their own wallets to it with Lightning. Is that something Bitkassa will offer someday?
Well, actually, Bitkassa is in a way already offering this service for those merchants, because all the merchants in Arnhem, and actually every merchant that uses Bitkassa, is using the Lightning node of Bitkassa for the liquidity. So we have one quite huge Lightning node with a tremendous amount of liquidity.
For the inbound liquidity to the merchants.
Yeah, for the inbound liquidity especially. So we usually have more inbound capacity than outgoing.
But for normal people, so not merchants but customers, do you think it will be someday also a possibility?
It's not our focus at the moment. I think you have... probably better solutions for customers to use other wallets that offer that kind of services.
Yeah. And is your system, because the Lightning Network is expanding, we see it always also in our community. I mean, we talked about it in the first, but we already put 20 Bitcoin into the in the Lightning Network as liquidity, of course. But is your system future proof from Bitkassa, or do you still need to upgrade it anytime in the future?
Well, I think, I'm not really sure what will happen if we suddenly get 1,000 times the current transaction amount. But no, we have never had any problems with liquidity at this time. And so I think for now we're quite good, and we can easily have 10, 20, 50 times the amount of transactions we are processing at this time. And if it goes beyond that, then we need to check how things will be going. And
we need to have a festival onboarded, right? That's one of my dreams. Yeah. That because we are Dutchies, we are kings in organizing dance festivals. And it would be so nice to... maybe do a festival with Bitkassa and see what are the limits of your service, right?
Yeah, actually, festival organizers have contacted us about this, but the biggest problem at the moment in the Netherlands is how do you get the visitors of the festival to fill their wallet with sats? That's the difficult part. That's what why they didn't go through with it. It was too hard for the...
Yeah, maybe a couple of hundred, but not 10,000 people. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but even for ordinary people, if you want someone to start with Bitcoin, using Bitcoin in a Lightning wallet, you need to go through a few steps. You need to buy Bitcoin, and you need to send them to the Lightning wallet, and sometimes you need to convert them to Lightning sats. Within your wallet, depends on which wallet you are using.
Yeah,
and it's just a few steps too much for the ordinary visitor of a festival. Mm-hmm. So we need to work on that part too.
Mm-hmm. Would be nice to actually do it like that one.
Yeah, actually, I'm hoping that one of the Dutch companies will offer a service where you can just buy Lightning Satoshis directly from them. That would be great, because even now when I have to refill my my own mobile wallet, it's a bit too much of a hassle, actually. It's not something that I'm really happy with, how things are going now.
And I've some questions about the Lightning Network also. Well, it's changing a lot in the Bitcoin world, and it's making it, faster, easier, and more convenient payments. That's what we all agree on. And will it help Bitkassa to grow faster? Or doesn't Bitkassa need Lightning to grow, or something else to use as a second layer or something?
Yeah, of course. Bitkassa started with the point of sale payments. And even when we started it, we knew that paying online Bitcoins at a point of sale situation was not ideal, and we needed to have something better than for the future. So in 2014, it was great. But then 2017 came, and people were actually paying like $30 of fee for their groceries in the supermarket. So that was not a good thing. And at that time, Lightning was not available. So yeah, that was not a good situation. So we were very happy when in 2018 we could support Lightning Network, because it was stable at the time and usable for point of sale payments.
Great. May I ask one more, Edward?
Yeah, of course,
Okay, last question. Okay. What Lightning implementation do you work with? LND or C Lightning or?
With LND, actually, and that is also because we are quite good friends with Joost Jager, who lives in the neighborhood of Arnhem, and who visits our meetups quite often. So he worked for LND, and he helped us with some questions we had of implementing it.
So great.
Well,
we failed to get all answers on a lot of different questions that we also had, but it means that we would really like to have you someday again on our show.
It would be great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And last week we had another guest, Lord Fusitua of the Kingdom of Tonga, in our episode. And we had an interesting talk about the benefits of receiving, for example, remittances through Lightning for the island of Tonga. And it really can change a lot on a social level and for a country where their monetary system is different than, for example, European or America or another country.
I think Bitkassa needs to talk with him, because he wants to get all these merchants onboarded, and he wants to have an inconvenient way of doing that, of course.
And he wants to build a wallet also, eh? So it's two. It's a two-step thing, and he's thinking, well, for example, in El Zonte and El Salvador. So yeah, that's interesting, I think, to follow.
He also had a question for you, Patrick, and I think we need to listen to it, and you of course can answer it.
So my question for you then is, how do you think Bitcoin on Lightning will drive adoption through your experience in using it?
Yeah, I think it will, especially in his situation, be very valuable. And here in Arnhem, for point of sale situations, you need Lightning to make it happen, and for small amounts. So without Lightning, you cannot easily send small amount of Bitcoins to anyone.
No.
So the Lightning Network is great for adopting more and more merchants and users into Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't for Lightning to exist, we can say that Bitcoin isn't suitable for doing payments, right? I mean, not at merchants. Yeah. I mean, maybe
just
for very
more settlements
big transactions
or something like that.
Yeah,
but not
exactly. but not for real payments at at a coffee shop or a supermarket or something like that. So, okay, great, man. Like your answer. And next week we have another guest, of course, Alex Bosworth from Jails and Lightning Labs. Yeah, we are very happy to have him on the show, of course, because we use a lot of his stuff a lot, also in our community. And he's very inspiring. So
and he's a lot of help also with Balance of Satoshis and the projects he's working on. So that's also great.
Yeah, he has also some channels to Bitkassa. And they're all great. One of the things that that I notice is that they're also almost always very good balanced questions. Yeah.
So he really knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
Hey, great, man. So it would be nice for you then to because have you also been in contact with him personally? Or
I've met him at a conference in what was it again? Estonia or Litauen, I guess. The Hoddle conference, not really sure. The Honey Badger conference, that was
Honey Badger. Okay.
And it's a cool guy, and of course he knows very well what he's doing. And,
But it would be nice for us to ask him a question from you. So if you can come up with a question, we will ask it for you.
Okay, I would like to ask Alex. What is the most remarkable thing that you have bought using the Lightning Network?
Great question.
And it suits you, of course. That
it suits you.
Yeah.
Will it be an e-bike or a Big Mac or a
or an escort service?
Or an escort service.
And was he using Bitkassa? That's also because
that's why he needed to balance those channels.
Now we know. Awesome, man. Hey, Patrick, time flies when you're having fun, and I can.
That's right.
We can tell. Thank you very much for your time. And it was a really nice chat. We know each other, of course. We speak very often at the poker table, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, but this is different. We're really excited to have you here with us. And
more formal
great.
And great. Man.
And the adoption.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And just good luck with this awesome podcast, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
We see you on a future show. That's for sure.
Definitely.
Verbinde die Welt.
Well, thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping the connected world with us. And keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Tot ziens!
See you later!